You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller. It's Thursday, June 23rd of the year 2022, our Lord and Savior. I'm, of course, joined by the one, the only Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host. I love Thursdays, man, because they mean I'm either doing the show with you or with Tam. Either way, I'm getting a winner.
It's true. You can't go wrong. Tam, me, it's all going to be good. And I'm wearing the Hackett's Quarry shirt. I don't wear white shirts. When I got this counselor shirt for the quarry, I said I would wear this one. I would make the exception.
I want to let you know, Greg,
I don't hate it.
With the mic blocking it, I couldn't see what it said. I just saw the hack part. I thought it was a Hacky Sack shirt that you bought back when we did that Kind of Funny podcast topic. And I was like, damn. Greg commits to bits in a way that I really appreciate. But no, you just bought a new shirt. But I will say you're looking good in it. You don't wear white enough. I've been trying to get white back into my repertoire.
I don't like white shirts. You know what I mean? They show all the parts I like to hide. The black shirts hide all the parts I want to hide.
I just, I don't want to go on too long of a tangent here, Greg, but I'd have some issue with the areola.
Sure.
You know, I understand, if you just see the physical nip, you just see okay, there's a bump there. I'm okay with that. I don't like when white shirts are so thin that unless you're trying to show off that sweet, sweet areola, in which case do you boo boo. But for me, I'm not ever trying to do that. And it's there, I got tiny little areolas too. But it's like whenever I wear the white shirt.
You got tiny little areolas?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean there's people that have tinier ones.
Sure, of course. You're not trying to claim you're the tiniest of all the areolas in the country.
No. Yeah. If Kevin were here right now, I'm sure he'd probably I know people with way tinier areolas. And I'm like, yeah. Kevin has tiny areolas as well. We're the tiny areola gang. I don't know. I don't want to make that a competition. That is one thing I do not need to do on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames is do a war of who has tinier areolas, me or Kevin. Here we go.
I don't like this.
Jace910 said call him. He knew what I was doing before I did it.
Hello, Greg Miller.
Hello, Kevin Coyle. You're live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
I want you to clear your mind. You know that I trust you. You know that I trust your mind. So whatever you answer is going to be the truth. Clear your mind, all right?
I'm cleared it.
Who has tinier areolas, you or Tim?
Me.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye.
There you go.
Now,
do you think he said it because of a competition, or do you think he said it because he knows the facts?
That's the thing, man. I don't know because I'm struggling to really envision his in my mind. I've seen him a million times. He's seen mine a million times. I know mine are small. I do know his are small. That's what I'm saying. I'm not ready to put my foot down as a competition here, but I'm just gonna say, tiny areola gang, I'm okay with it. But white shirts need to step their game up.
Yeah, too thin. So far, this one's good. Like I said, I don't think it's gonna get into the. It's gonna be into the active rotation of shirts I wear. It will be the special occasion. You'll see me call it out on a show that I'm wearing it, or you'll just know because you've heard this show that I'm wearing it. It's a big deal. But otherwise, just back to black. Hide everything.
Hide the shame. Black. I get it.
Good.
Areola.
Tim, you're about to get some news about Overwatch 2. A date for A Plague Tale's Requiem and the fact that No Man's Sky is coming to Switch. We're going to talk about all this and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the show with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. And of course, you could get to watch us record PS I Love You XOXO live this afternoon on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can catch the XCast tomorrow on Friday. You can catch GamesCast next week because that's how we do it for all those YouTube podcasts you love over there. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you have no bucks to toss our way, over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, it's no big deal. There are a variety of free ways to support us. Number one, of course, you could be using that Epic creator code kinda funny over on the Epic Game Store. If you're buying games or you're playing Fortnite on the platform of your choice, you pop in the Epic Games creator code kinda funny. We get a few bucks on everything you purchase, and it costs you nothing. That's great for us and you. Of course, then, if you like this show, you can get it free while we record it. Watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, just like PJ Julian is, Jay Fulcrum is, Cloud9000 are. If you're like Cloud9000, you're watching live, remember, you have a special job. Keep us honest by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and telling us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday.
Mm-hmm.
Housekeeping for you, Tim, right now over on youtube.com/kindoffunny. And of course, podcast services around the globe. Our Thor the Dark World rewatch is live. We put ourselves through this as we're getting ready for Love and Thunder. We are doing in review. We're going through and doing all these things. We're watching all these shows. We watched The Dark World.
And I'm very excited about it because the rewatches bring out a different energy in us, which I really appreciate. I think the last 2 weeks are proof of it. So if you guys are like, I don't know if I want to watch the guys talk about some of the worst MCU movies again, you're wrong. You definitely want to give it a shot. Thor 1 and Thor 2 are some of the better in-review rewatch content we've done so far. Jokes galore. There's new bits introduced. New scales are introduced. You know what I'm talking about?
Of course. Yeah. Or the keeping it real scale, the new kind of funny keeping it real scale.
Yeah. Don't explain it, Greg.
I won't tell you what the five is then, all right? Don't worry about it.
Yeah, they have to go listen to the Thor.
There's a lot of people in chat already telling you what the five is. They're about it, ladies and gentlemen. This is what kind of funny best friends are about. We watch terrible fucking movies to torture each other, and then we watch them again and talk about them again.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch me and Nick just lose our minds about it. I digress. That's available right now. Is that on the interview? That's on the in review feed. Where is that?
You can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunny on the in review playlist, or you can get it as a podcast, search for kind of funny in review. If there's a franchise you love or hate, chances are we've reviewed it and probably rewatched it.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Gordon McGuire and Fargo Brady. Today we're brought to you by Uplift, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Six items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
I'm not sure who to be let down by. Am I let down by Tim or let down by Raj? Chat, let me know.
Well, I never do the. It's always Kevin or Barrett that does it, right? But I know this is Roger's worst nightmare because I know I was talking to him last week, like, "Hey, man, you haven't run games daily before, like, you good?" He's like, "Yeah, I've run other shows. Like, I'm really comfortable with it. I'm just really stressed out about all the bits and stuff. I don't know, man." Here we are, fucking publicly.
Wait,
roasting
can you not
him.
Hear me?
Can you hear me?
Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. The chat heard me. Everyone heard me. It was right. I think Discord just didn't pick me up. That was okay, weird. Okay. That was super weird. I did it. Yeah, sorry about that, everybody. That was weird.
I apologize if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. I did put up a poll who failed Greg, Tim, or Roger.
Oh, my God. Do not worry. Oh, my God.
Tim is winning in a landslide, so Tim failed me for sure here.
For sure.
85%. Right? Yeah, Tim has failed me, according to the polls.
That's my life.
Number one on the Roper Report, we have some brand spanking new Overwatch 2 details for you. Number one, we'll start over at IGN.com, where Ryan Leston writes, "It'll replace the original game at launch. It's official. Overwatch 2 will fully replace the original Overwatch at launch." During a Reddit AMA, Overwatch 2 director Aaron Keller confirmed that the upcoming Overwatch sequel will replace the original live service when the game launches in October. Quote, "When Overwatch 2 launches on October 4th, it will be a replacement for the current live service," he confirmed. IGN is seeking clarification with Blizzard to confirm whether the original game will still be playable once Overwatch 2 arrives. When the sequel was originally announced back in August last year, Blizzard claimed that Overwatch and Overwatch 2 players would be able to play side-by-side when playing the same game modes. The original plan allowed Overwatch players to play on the brand new Overwatch 2 maps and as the new map heroes. Then, game director Jeff Kaplan said it was a, quote, "shared multiplayer environment where no one gets left behind," end quote. In other words, multiplayer PvP would have been possible across the two titles. Now, it looks as though Overwatch will, in fact, be left behind. It's likely that Overwatch will essentially become Overwatch 2, which was already planned to retain old legacy content while adding new maps and systems. The fact that Overwatch 2 will be free to play means this should be an easy enough transition, since no players need to pay for the new game. But this change means it looks as though 6v6 Overwatch is a thing of the past, as Overwatch 2 uses a 5v5 model. In fact, it's likely that the transition from 6v6 to 5v5 is the thing that made the two versions of the game incompatible. Quote, we're using the term early access to indicate that this is just the start of many new things coming to the game, said Overwatch 2's director Aaron Keller on Reddit. We're launching with new heroes, maps, and features, but there are even more of these coming seasonally, every 9 weeks. We recently released a roadmap detailing some of this content, with a new hero coming in Seasons 1 and 2, and a new map in Season 2. Additionally, larger pieces of the game that have always been a part of our vision for Overwatch 2 will be released to the game as part of the live service, including the launch of the PvE campaign next year. Tim, as I said, deets. There's more. I have another one about loot boxes here, but there's a lot in here, of course, as we get closer and closer to the October 4th launch of Overwatch 2. Them killing Overwatch 1, the move to 5v5 from the 6v6 that they had before. Tim, I know you and me, not the biggest Overwatch players.
Definitely not. I loved Overwatch when it first came out, and I'm very excited about this PvE campaign stuff coming next year. Like, that's exactly what I want from an Overwatch, if not just a pure single-player campaign with beautifully animated cutscenes and all that. But yeah, we know a couple people that might be a little more qualified to talk about this.
And that's why, as this story, as we were ramping up Games Daily, I turned the Overwatch signal to Slack. I hit it up. I lit it up. And I'd like to welcome to the show the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino hate, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globetrotting, headshotting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez. Hello, Andy.
Tracer here.
And then, of course, you know him from GameSpot.com, you know him from GiantBomb.com, and you know him from Ms. Marvel in Review, available right now on YouTube.com/kindoffunny. It's Tamor Hussein. Hello, Tam.
Eugene no Ken wo kurae.
Holy shit.
They're into it. Tam, let's start with you. What do you care at all about Overwatch 1 going away? And then how do you feel about moving to the 5v5 model?
So do I care about Overwatch 1 going away? Yes, for the sake of game preservation. The Overwatch 1 experience is now unique. It is a different kind of experience, it being 6v6. I think that I'm caring more about it knowing that Overwatch is 5v5 and there's currently no way for my group of six friends who I constantly would play with, that includes Andy, to jump into that game and play together. Like, the biggest issue I feel like the community is having right now is in the switch to 5v5, one person in a Overwatch friend circle needs to be benched, and that sucks. And also, like, the unique dynamics of a 6v6 game, almost from a historical perspective and a game design perspective, there's a lot to look at Overwatch 1 and the meta and how it evolved to kind of, like, analyze and pick apart in the 6v6 context. And that's probably going to be overwritten. I hope that what they do is... I imagine someone out there is probably going to archive it in some fashion. Oh, and, sure. You know, now we have that thing where, you know, they bring back WoW Classic and they bring back Diablo of old. And my hope is that Blizzard does it in a way where they do sunset Overwatch 1, but they do it in a way where, you know, a few years down the line, they can be like, Overwatch Classic is being rolled into you know, Overwatch 2, or we're bringing that back. So I do care about it.
Right?
Yeah. So, they did talk about some stuff that they didn't say they're going to make a 6v6 mode. They said that it's not, they didn't really say they're not going to do it. But they also, like, Aaron Keller told me, he was like, we're trying to figure out things. And one of the ideas we had was a six-person stack or six-person team, but one person is kind of just spectating and you can rotate in and out, which is cool. Mm. But ultimately, like, the thing about it is, it's also kind of necessary and it makes a lot of sense. They need to update that launcher. They need to create a common ground for everyone. So I'm not surprised. I am slightly sad to see it go away.
And I assume you're voting right now to drop Lucy James from your group, right?
It remains to be seen.
Okay.
There's a few others as well who need to start pulling their way.
I understand. Simon Cardi.
Yeah, exactly.
Andy Cortez, what's your read on the move from 6v6 to 5v5 and the fact that it's going away, Overwatch 1?
I'm with Tam. I'm not surprised by it. I understand the sort of thought process behind it. But I do see this getting added as an arcade mode in the future, as some sort of custom game. it does just, it becomes weird in the sense that I think a lot of the player base will become, I think this is something that's kind of like going to divide and anger some of the players who maybe don't like the move to 5v5 and were completely fine with it. I think this is something that makes total sense because when Warzone changes a new map, the old map goes away and it's no longer accessible. Like, it's not something I'm surprised by whatsoever, but I do think a lot of the player base will be alienated by it at first, and then eventually we'll kind of just get over it and play Overwatch 5v5. So I'm not surprised by it, but it is kind of a bummer, and I hope that we do see some sort of custom game modes in the future.
Timothy Geddes.
For Tim and Andy, are you guys, I know you guys are really big Overwatch 1 fans. I know you've had some experience with Overwatch 2 so far. Are you guys in favor of the 5v5 overall?
I
like the way it plays. They made some Overwatch 1 got to a place where it didn't feel great to play for a really long time because of the meta, the shields, and like the AoE stuff and a lot of other factors, whereas they've clearly looked at that stuff now, and for 5v5 it feels way better immediately, at a cost of one person, but the skirmishes feel less drawn out, it feels more exciting, it feels like there's more of a push and pull again, which is really crucial to having these matches be like fun to play and also fun to watch, which is exactly what they need if they want to get the Overwatch League kind of rolling again. But yeah, I'm in favor of it.
Yeah, it also doesn't necessarily feel like all players need to be completely in sync with each other, because a lot of players like to just hop on a solo queue and necessarily they're playing with random people on the internet. So I think Blizzard's sort of thought process behind that and not having to have everybody be perfectly on comms, on mic with each other. I like the idea that players and different heroes can kind of pop off and have their hero moments without needing perfect execution of like a strategy or a play. I think this is a lot better of a move, and it's also just less chaotic. There's less numbers to kind of keep track of, and the queue times are going to be a lot better now because nobody wanted to play two tanks. So people were playing tanks because they just wanted to get into a game, and then they weren't playing them well because they just weren't very good at the role and they didn't care much about the role either.
Final question for you guys, because the next one's just about unopened loot boxes, which I think is a pretty straightforward news story. But where, Andy, how quickly do you think before they screw up and don't hit this every 9 weeks they put out seasonal content?
Oh, shit. Yeah. I part of me has to assume that they've been stewing on this for quite some time. I'm sure Tam knows a lot more than I do, but Overwatch 1 was a fucking desert for a long time. There was no content. There was like an occasional skirmish map would pop up, and a skirmish map is something where you would play like a death match on or a free for all. It's just one of those free kind of fun arcade maps. But Overwatch 1 got zero content for a very long time. And I would love to hope that that was because they had been working on this roadmap for a very long time for Overwatch 2. I feel like, in theory, it's amazing and it's perfect, but sure, I could see it dropping out of the 9-week time frame, maybe by like Battle Pass number 3 or 2 or something like that. I hadn't even considered how excited I was, though. The other day when somebody in Twitch chat was like, Andy, how stoked are you about this Battle Pass? And I was like, you know what? I feel like battle passes in a lot of games are, it's usually, I'd say Halo was probably the first battle pass that I'd experienced that wasn't a battle royale. And playing battle royales can get just really draining because it's, I think a bit more stressful of an all or nothing type of mode and a bit more frustrating. And I feel like I drop off of playing battle royales more than I would an Overwatch where I'm just kind of going match by match by match. And I am like ridiculously excited to level up a battle pass. Like the idea of just kind of getting XP and going match to match and trying to get more XP. And hopefully there's not Halo like objectives where it's like, use this hero or get, because I know that kind of ruins the playing experience for other players. But I'm super stoked on it. And I hope that it's at least worth it, and it's got good stuff in the battle pass to make me want to continue to level it up.
Yeah, don't forget, Marvel's Avengers has a battle pass for every character, Andy, that you can go through and do too. That is a battle royale.
How could I forget?
Like, I mean, well, you know, we got Mighty Thor next week. A lot of stuff's happening over there. Tam's excited. I'm excited. The Avenger chat's live. Don't worry about it. Tam, similar question, obviously, about the 9 weeks thing, but I also want to call out what the final quote here from Keller was, right? Additionally, larger pieces of the game that have always been part of the vision for Overwatch 2 will be released to the game as part of the live service, including the launch of the PvE campaign next year. My question is in line with that, Tam, the 9 weeks thing, and then a little bit, as Andy mentioned, of Halo, but not the same degree. Do you think this PvE campaign for them becomes the same way Halo's multiplayer edition has been haunting Infinite?
So the 9 week thing is kind of interesting to me. When I spoke to them, they were, Aaron Keller at least, was extremely confident. Like, okay. He was like, no, we've been planning for a really long time, and we have grown the team. The team is like exponentially bigger than it was for Overwatch 1, and they've created content production pipelines that are specifically designed to ensure that they hit these kind of like 9 week rotations. How long that will go for remains to be seen. At the very least, the first year will be fine. I expect the second year will be fine. Year three, I can't say with as much confidence, but they seem to be very, very confident in their own kind of timing for all this stuff. In terms of the PvE becoming a kind of white whale style thing for them, I'm inclined to believe that they are in a good spot with PvE. And the reason they talked about kind of decoupling it was the kind of production and also the kind of rollout of Overwatch was being hampered by having them tied together. PvP couldn't go until PvE was ready and vice versa. And sure. The content kind of split was kind of making it hard to produce content and get stuff out. So that's why they decoupled it. I think where they're at now is in a much better position where they can independently work on PvE and make sure that it's when it's ready, it's out and it's done, and it doesn't have to, and content for PvE doesn't have to wait for it and vice versa. So I think I'm pretty confident that it will come out when they say it comes out. What's interesting to me is going to be whether they continue to support it going forward. I think they would. I'm not sure if the kind of support for PvE will roll out on the same like 9 week style cadence as the PvP stuff. I imagine they will have additional updates to PvE because they're basically that's basically going to be what the event based stuff, the Junkenstein stuff, kind of like the archive events were. So I imagine they will continue to support it. I'm not 100% sure if it will be as consistent or if it will be like sporadically, hey, we've got a new kind of like chapter.
And also part of me just also assumes that, and not necessarily assumes, but maybe prays and hopes that they're seeing the way the industry is moving with getting into, you know, cross media type stuff, and PlayStation's wanting to do all these TV shows. And obviously with PvE, that lends to a lot more story-like experiences. And maybe we start to see and start to spread into different types of media, not just comic books. Like,
let's go.
You know, with whenever we see Netflix Geeked Week, like there's always all these brand new animes that are, you know, that fucking Dragon Age and all these sort of different properties are getting made into TV shows that it just kind of seems like it makes sense, and that's the next space to take over.
I think they keep that stuff in-house in their game for as long as possible. When I talked to Aaron, I was like, with the PvE stuff, can we expect more of your like shorts and origin story style stuff that people love in the game? And he was kind of like, yeah, there's going to be more of that stuff there. I feel like PvE is where they explore a lot of that stuff, and they really beef up the cinematic universe of it, element of it. I think it's going to be I can't think of a single Blizzard property outside of World of Warcraft, the movie, that has been adapted in a way that indicates that they're willing to do more. The World of Warcraft movie was fine, I've heard, but like, I don't think they're I don't think they're as on it with Riot, but then Arcane did a lot for a lot of people, so perhaps they look at it now and they're like, hey, we should just do that, we can make that happen. I would love to see them do that stuff. I would love to see them take the Visions approach and be like, hey, studio that made My Hero Academia, here's Overwatch, go and do it.
Hell yeah.
I meant to say, yeah, Riot is kind of the big the big sort of missing name from all the stuff that I was listing. Riot is definitely, I feel like, taking over what Blizzard has wanted to do, has wanted to be in the past, decade or so. And I think that they are maybe quaking in their boots, Greg Miller. I think they're a little quaking.
You think they're quaking in their boots?
Yeah, I think their boots are quaking. So, I would love to see them kind of take that over. And whatever Tam just said right now really broke my heart. I'll be real with you.
Well, gentlemen, thank you for your time.
All right. We'll see you thank on you. The stream.
Remember, the world could always use more heroes.
We're all soldiers now.
Your second little story here about Overwatch 2 comes from Matt Kim over at IGN, who answers the question, what about my unopened loot boxes? In a Reddit AMA, someone asked whether loot boxes will carry over to Overwatch 2. However, it should be noted that Blizzard is doing away with loot boxes completely for the sequel. However, for anyone still keeping their loot boxes, they will be opened automatically and their contents will be transferred to your account in the sequel. Quote, we'll share a more detailed explanation on all of these topics before Overwatch 2 goes live in October. To give you a quick answer now, though, those existing currencies, credits, OWL tokens, and competitive points will come with you in Overwatch 2, writes Overwatch commercial lead John Spector. Spector added that any unopened loot boxes will be automatically opened and its contents automatically entered into a player's account. The automatic transfer makes sense given that loot boxes will simply cease to exist in the game. And given that Overwatch 2 will be free to play, it seems that everyone playing Overwatch 1 will be automatically transitioned to the sequel with their accounts intact. When Overwatch 2 is released on October 4th, 2022, as a free-to-play game, it will ditch the first game's loot boxes in favor of a Battle Pass system. The Battle Pass will let players unlock cosmetics, which can also be purchased through the in-game store. So good news there, Tim.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it sounds like they're getting ahead of what was definitely about to be a problem, right? Which is always good. I'm sure there are going to be 1,000 unforeseen issues that come up they're like, oh, damn, I didn't think about that. But then hopefully they handle it the right way. This seems like the right way to me. I don't know if maybe there's like Overwatch 1 fans that are like pissed off about this. But I mean, they're committing to switching over. So I think that this seems to be the best kind of foot forward. Real quick, I just want to bring up Charles Jacobson in the chat says, don't worry, Vicarious Visions was sent to Blizzard to work on Overwatch 2 maps. And like, I haven't been on a show to talk about the Tony Hawk 3 and 4 situation.
Oh, yeah, that was Monday stuff, yeah.
And like, I don't want to go too long on it, but just real talk, I have not been as bummed out from video game news. Like, that doesn't matter. You know, obviously, there's a lot of horrible shit going on that matters way more than this. But like, just in terms of like, just being sad about not being able to play a game that would have been fucking awesome. Like, there were so many hints that 3 and 4 were real. Like, there were so many teases in the tweets that the Tony Hawk profile put up and, like, graffiti in the background saying 3 plus 4 and things like that. Like, and I knew to give up hope a long time ago. And as the different companies and Activision, different teams started getting gobbled up and moved over, and, like, when they legitimately killed Vicarious Visions, like, all of that hit me so hard. But to have Tony Hawk legitimately say, to Andy THPS, the greatest Tony Hawk player of all time on a stream, and be like, 3 and 4 were real. Like, oh man, it sucks. It sucks, Greg, because I don't think we're ever going to see that. I don't think this is one of those situations.
You don't think you'll ever see it?
I don't, man. I really don't. It's like, I feel like there was a moment in time where you got to keep that momentum going, and 1+2 did so well, and it made so many people so happy. And if they just kept going, it would have kept going. It would have brought Tony Hawk Pro Skater back to dominance. We would have got Thug eventually. It would have been so good. But yeah, it's
Tim. When I hope Activision these Overwatch Blizzard 2 maps are away, great. When Phil Spencer's there taking care of the Activision Blizzard babies, you'll be getting more Tony Hawk. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry your pretty little head.
We'll see, man.
Well, especially the biggest skate's about to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I think honestly, like, there's the skate side of things complicates it a lot. And I also think just the licensing of Tony Hawk himself and of these old games. We're getting messy. We're getting to the point of like GoldenEye levels of like license problems of like who owns what and whatever. And like, we're going to see it eventually, but will we? I don't know. Anyways, I just want to say I'm really bummed out about this. Like, the Activision team stuff is such a sad, sad sign. And I hope that one day we get a Crash Bandicoot 5, we get a Spyro 4, we get a new Tony Hawk Pro Skater, whatever it is, remake or not, man.
Believe in Phil Spencer. Believe in Xbox.
Team. I hope, man.
They want those easy wins. They want you to be super stoked after their next Xbox conference in 20XX where they come out and they say all that stuff. Don't you worry.
We'll see. I mean, well, again, last thing I'm going to say on this, it's like, I think you're right that at some point maybe we'll get new Tony Hawk again, but I don't want necessarily new Tony Hawk. new Tony Hawk leads us to Tony Hawk Ride and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5. And
the board was full of technology. A plethora
of bad things, man. Like Tony Hawk 3 plus 4 was a guaranteed hit because we knew what it was. It was going to be a remake as good as they did to 1 and 2. I digress.
You do digress. Tim? On this Xbox vein, number 2 in the Roper Report, A Plague Tale Requiem has a release date. We go to the official press release, which came with an extended little trailer of gameplay there. If you want to pop it on, Raj, if you can, and jump way ahead, because they push a swing in the beginning. It's not that interesting. A Plague Tale Requiem, the sequel to the critically acclaimed A Plague Tale Innocence by Asobo Studio and Focus Entertainment, revealed an extended gameplay trailer during the Focus Showcase, complete with an official release date announcement of October 18th, and pre-orders available on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S/X and PC. In the new extended gameplay sequence, follow Amika and Hugo as they make their way through the massive Orshred quarry, overwhelmed with soldiers eager to capture them. Fortunately, the duo has many new tricks up their sleeve and doesn't shy away from getting their hands dirty. Watch how it all plays out and get ready to embark on the heart-rending journey into a brutal, breathtaking world and discover the cost of saving those you love in a desperate struggle for survival. Of course, again, to get back to the main point, October 18th for A Plague Tale Requiem as we see it going here.
And we see,
Diego.
I'm so happy that video games have progressed to this point that games like A Plague Tale can come out and just wow people seemingly out of nowhere. I feel like Hellblade was another one of those where when we first saw Hellblade 1, I remember on a Games Daily, the trailer playing and being like, what the hell is this? Like, this looks like a big AAA game, like that we would see at like a Sony press conference type thing. Yeah. And it's like an indie game. Like, what's going on? And I know Plague Tale is like a different type of story there behind the scenes, but like, I just love that like a game can look like this and not be from Naughty Dog. You know, like, I feel like we just had so many years of it either looked like a PS3 third person shooter, or it was a retro 2D platformer of some type, right? Or a top down RPG. But now it's like, nah, man, like this can just be this doesn't have to be quadruple A, triple A, whatever. It can just be this and be this great.
100%. This is, of course, one we saw just recently at the old Xbox showcase, right? Because, yeah, it's an Xbox Game Pass game. And they show her killing people and knocking people down. And I am somebody who has been told over and over again, I would love A Plague Tale Innocence. During Game of the Year for that year, I started it and played a couple hours of it. And it didn't grab me. But since seeing the demonstration at Xbox and now this morning watching through this extended thing, I have, of course, re-downloaded Plague Tale Innocence to get ready for October 18th. Again, coming day one to Game Pass if that's where you want to get it. Also, in kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, Missing Link 000 writes in and says, I pronounced the name wrong of the main character. It's Amicia. I apologize. Amicia and her brother Hugo as they go through. And after I play it again, or play it, period, I guess I'll be able to know that or whatever. This looks interesting. Now she's out there killing people. Yeah, let's go. Let's go do our thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Speaking of doing our thing, let me tell you about our thing, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can be a Patreon producer. You, of course, can get to watch PS I Love You XOXO live today as we record it over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But of course, most important for right now, you go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get all the game shows without ads. But since you're not there, here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to Uplift for sponsoring this episode. I've been using my Uplift desk for well over a year now. I love the thing so much, I decided to write a rap song for them.
The build quality is real good. It's made of real high quality wood.
They didn't ask for it. I just did it anyway. Getting my Uplift desk immediately improved my mood. Whenever I'm on shows, I'm standing up, I'm feeling a lot more energetic. And also, I kind of feel like I was just maybe creating some bad habits sitting down at a desk all day. I would move my legs up, I'd sit underneath my legs on my chair, and eventually all that stuff just created really bad back pain for me. Choose from laminate, whiteboard, bamboo, solid wood, butcher block, or even custom solid wood or laminate options. Uplift Desk won New York Times Wirecutter's Best Standing Desk from 2019 to 2022. And while I'm at it, I'm just going to give them an award as well. Best standing desk that I use in my bedroom from when they sent it to me until now. Uplift Desk have a 15-year warranty. They ship the same day you order with free shipping and free return shipping. So if you've been feeling the effects of sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day, maybe you want some more energy in your life, maybe you want to do squats in the middle of a Zoom call or something, uplift your life. Go to kindoffunny.com/uplift.
Number three on the Roper Report, No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky is coming to Switch. This is Ian Walker over at Kotaku. Hello Games is bringing massive spacefaring, I thought it was farming, sim No Man's Sky and most of its updates from the past 6 years to Switch on October 7th, the company announced this morning. A physical edition of the complete remastered PlayStation 5 version is also planned for the same day. Quote, No Man's Sky on this tiny portable device feels both completely natural and also totally improbable at the same time, said Hello Games director Sean Murray, who you see if you're watching live playing right now in the trailer. This has been a real moonshot for our small team. No Man's Sky is built around procedural generation, which means the console generates everything you see. This makes it so much harder to bring our game to something like the Switch. But I think the team never seems happier than when they are trying to do near impossible things, end quote. Folks who pick up No Man's Sky on Switch will be able to experience all the content through the game's Prisms update from June 2021. If the rapid montage of logos in today's trailer is anything to go by, Hello Games has released three additional updates, Frontier, Sentinel, and Outlaws, since then. Tim, the journey of No Man's Sky.
Dude, I will never forget me and you being down in Austin, Texas, when No Man's Sky actually came out. We were at Rooster Teeth. This was back when Ashley Burns was still there running the No, yeah. Their like daily news show. And we were in the room with her as her and the team had to like report on just the disastrous launch of this game. Right. And it felt in that moment like No Man's Sky was doomed. And it was one of the biggest doom stories in video game history. Right. Here we are. Many years later, and the game is essentially as complete as they originally pitched, and it's coming to Switch. Like, whoa, what a comeback story in so many ways. And we've talked about it over the years, and they've had so many successes, but it coming to Switch just feels like the perfect cherry on top, right? At the end of the day, they did it. They figured it all out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you talk about comeback stories, and I think that when you burn goodwill, it is so hard to get out from underneath that. And, you know, bigger companies are able to weather that storm, obviously, because they're putting out so many games or have so many people and don't really care. But for Hello Games to be this small, you know, independent studio that you really knew from the Joe Danger games or whatever to come out, be put on the PlayStation stage over and over and over again for No Man's Sky, and then have it come out and not be what they wanted it to be and not be what the audience wanted it to be. The fact that they put their heads down, hunkered down, and went through and made that game into what they wanted it to be is incredible. And you know, I just put in a whole bunch of hours on PlayStation 5 last month, I think it was, and man, that game is so much fun. And again, as somebody who played it and enjoyed it for what it was at launch, it's crazy to see how far it's come and how much it is now, that trailer that was, you know, scanning all these different things, seeing all these different people.
Game came out August 7th, 2016.
Yeah.
Almost, maybe not a full year, but like almost a year, maybe a half year, whatever, from the Switch launching. Like, this was before the Switch.
Yeah.
That's why, man. And here it is coming to Switch.
I will be fascinated to see how it runs on Switch on October 7th. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have the nice trailer and whatever and stuff. Like, what's it really going to look like? How much pop-ins are going to be? What's going to go on? But yeah, we'll see. We will see. Number four on the Roper Report, former Days Gone director teams with PlayStation veteran to form new AAA studio and announces a Web 3.0 game. This is Matt Perslow over at IGN.
Deja vu.
We hear this a lot, don't we? Two Sony veterans have united to set up, and I'm going to call it Lethos. Does that sound right, Tim? Because I got the double I in there. Lethos.
Like me or we.
Yeah, Lethos. A new AAA game studio. Lethos' debut game will be Ashfall, which the studio describes as the, quote, first true Web 3.0 AAA game for PC, console, and the Hedera network. Yep, it's another blockchain idea. Lethos has been set up by Michael Moonbauer and John Garvin, two veteran PlayStation developers. Moonbauer was once head of PlayStation Visual Arts, where he worked on projects including Uncharted, The Last of Us, and Days Gone. He left Sony to become the founder of That's No Moon, a role he left less than a year later. Garvin, meanwhile, was creative director on Days Gone and Siphon Filter at Sony Bend Studio. He, by his own admission, was fired from Bend for being a, quote, disruptive personality. In a talk with David Jaffe, Garvin said that he, quote, had a few heated arguments at the studio and that he sucked at being a people person, a skill required in his position at the helm of a large team. Ashfall is described as an open-world game set in a land ravaged by global warming, mysterious energy fields, and warring enclaves. It apparently starts as a narrative-driven single-player game, but later evolves into a PvP and PvE game. Ashfall will also plug into the Hedera, am I saying that right? I don't know anything about these stupid ass bit blockchain things. Hedera, is that what's something? Hedera Network, a blockchain system that will allow players to build, sell, and trade, with exclusivity being the focus. Such a word suggests that Ashfall's scavenging and discovery elements results in NFTs. This comes despite the gaming community's expressing overwhelming disdain for blockchain projects, so much so that companies like Team 17 and GSC Game World have had to backpedal on NFT ideas. Tim just deep inhales through his teeth and oof. My problem is, of course, that John Garvin from Sony Ben, you know, I didn't love Days Gone, but I loved his work on Siphon Filter and, of course, what they've done with Uncharted and stuff. So I'm interested in that. Michael Mumbauer, like we were saying before, right? Visual arts at PlayStation. You might know the name or visual arts from when it broke recently, right? Because it was when Michael left before he went to That Snow Moon, but after he left that, where he was like, hey, we wanted to do an Uncharted remake of Uncharted, but then they said we should do Last of Us, and then we started it, but then Naughty Dog took it over, and yada yada. That report that came out, I want to say Bloomberg with Jason, I was quoting Michael Mumbauer over there and stuff. So the PlayStation part of this makes me excited. These guys know what they're doing. They're making interesting things. The concept art they showed for Ashfall made me go, okay, because it was like Seattle with an erupting volcano and the Space Needle there. And then even talking about it, the way they talked about it in their tweets, and then a little bit here, a little less here, but more in the tweets, made it sound like a Division kind of thing, right? Of an open world game set in land ravaged by global warming. It's got PvP and PvE. There's some of the stuff they were, I didn't even see this one. That's actually way dope than what I saw on Twitter. What I put in Slack to begin with in KFGD was the Twitter thread, Raj. That totally works for what I'm talking about, but if you wanted the actual one I looked at, it was from Hedera. I hope it's Andrew. Who knows? Not. But they put in their stuff. They put in a screenshot and there's the tweet underneath that of the three of four here. Ashfall has players traversing a world scarred by global warming and warring factions, a connected single player evolving into a multiplayer PvP versus PvE. Players can leverage the network to scavenging and blah, blah, blah. Like, up until they get into the Web 3.0 blockchain NFT shit.
Which they do right at the beginning, but yeah.
The way we're talking about it right now, the screenshot I'm seeing right now. Up until then, I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, fuck. Who the fuck cares?
I know. And what makes this rough for me, and I obviously this we're reading from this article that was from IGN, so the context has been changed from how they presented it. But it is a little bit like of a warning sign to me, like maybe a very loud like siren actually, where it's like by his own admission he's a disruptive personality, sucked at being a people person, few heated arguments, all of those things. It's like, look, people are people. Like, I'm not like, I get it, like some people have real troubles with that stuff. That's not an excuse. It is just like a cool, at least he can be aware of it, right? And he was fired for that. But you take those personality traits and apply them to NFTs, and the most volatile thing like I've seen in my career in video games, of just like such a rejection of you're either on this side or this side and there is no in between. It's like, I don't know if those personality traits line up with being on that side in a productive way, but maybe that's just me.
It'll be interesting to watch on Twitter. As I when I was glancing at it today when it first got announced, obviously it's not a huge thing in terms of news, but it was the usual, like, nobody fucking cares. nobody wants this thing. I'm like, strong personalities here. I predict internal issues. Like, it's all that stuff. Like, we don't know what's going on over there internally. You can only talk about the pitch of the game. And then I think, the disappointment in bringing in Web 3.0 blockchain NFT shit.
I mean, the thing is, it's not like the biggest issue with this is it's not just bringing in that stuff. It's like, that basically, is the focus. Like, that's what it is. It's like, it's first true Web 3.0 AAA title. It's like, oh, fuck. Like, Jesus Christ, please don't do that.
Can you stop? We don't. We'll see how it all goes. Roger, I'm tossing you another one. I'm just shoving it into Kind of Funny Games Daily. George Cruz over there, Kind of Funny Best Friend, also employee of Pop Agenda. He put up this amazing tweet today that I love so much. Where he did the Dark Pictures anthology, the Dark Universe.
With
Tom Cruise and Russell Crowe. He put that up and then he goes, former AAA, and then he puts in brackets, LA/Santa Monica/San Diego. Developers announced a new quadruple A studio working on an unannounced single player title funded by insert megacorp here, or maybe Saudi Arabia here. Like, it's very accurate. That does seem to be
incredible.
And that's my thing of looking at this in like, obviously a great joke from George, but then reading through this, you do wonder, okay, like, will this game come to be? Like, there's, and I, it was, let me check. I saw this from Steven Totillo today. He was the first I saw to when I woke up and looked at Twitter, and he had put in there like, this is a you know, another web thing here that's happening, web 3.0 or whatever. I don't know how they're going to do web 3.0 and NFT shit on the console and PC, but I'm asking, and I don't know if he ever got an answer. But we can check on that later. Right now I can't spell Totillo, so I can't. We'll keep our eyes peeled to see what happens over there with Lethos, but there you go. Web 3.0 happening. Number five on the Roper Report. xCloud is getting mouse and keyboard support. This is Austin Gosselin over at Polygon. Microsoft's Xbox Cloud gaming service, xCloud, is getting a few upgrades in the near future. The company has started encouraging developers to add mouse and keyboard support to more of their xCloud-compatible games and to reduce latency on the service, Microsoft said during its Xbox game streaming discussion at XFest. The mouse and keyboard support feature hasn't made it to xCloud's PC users yet, but Microsoft says that developers can begin adding support to their games now. That way, the feature will turn on Xbox Game Cloud as soon as it's available.
Hell yeah. I'm so excited. I'm so excited for this.
That gets you going, Rob?
Yeah,
that's for you?
That gets me going. Yeah, for me. What were you going to say, Tim?
XFest is an annual music festival held in various venues throughout the United States by Clear Channel Communications radio stations. Interesting. I was like, what the fuck is XFest? How do we not know what this is?
Well, I don't think it's the same XFest, though. Pretty sure it's not the same XFest, is it? Because there was a news story like yesterday where Xbox was finally going to let some of the XFest panels be streamable for fans or whatever. I think it's like more of an internal Xbox thing.
Okay, cool. Okay, so it is what I assumed it was.
Yeah, it's not a music fest. We're in the middle of a music fest. We're like, let's talk about XCloud.
I've never heard of XFest.
I'm not shitting on you. It's a very normal jump to make. Hold on, let me get you an article about that.
This went in a very different direction than I expected it to. I saw XFest. I've never heard of XFest. I was like, damn, XFest is a dope ass name for an Xbox like fan convention thing. And I like googled it, saw the music thing. I'm like, oh, I wish it was Xbox, but now you're telling me it is Xbox. That's good. Congratulations,
Xbox XFest 22. Microsoft helps developers be better. For several years, Microsoft has become accustomed to organizing roundtables and other conferences dedicated to professionals. Blah blah blah. In 2022, Microsoft has continued this knowledge sharing approach and is now opening it up to the public with XFest for everyone. The XFest is a Microsoft event organized around the creation of video games. Developers from different studios share their knowledge and skills and allow creators to quickly gain expertise on new contents or complex subjects. Several conferences, blah blah. So it's
GDC. Xbox
is own GDC.
Fuck yeah, very cool. And also this new story is awesome. Like xCloud continues to just build its dominance for the future. Mouse and keyboard support obviously huge for a lot of people out there, and just that versatility, man, it's what's necessary for these type of systems to work. Is it needs to just work the way you want them to, the way you need them to at any given moment.
Steven Totillo tweeted today, by the way, about the thing before I finally was able to find it. They're making a Web3 game for PC and console called Ashfall. Not sure how they expect to get a Web3 game onto consoles, but I'm asking. So we will see how that one goes there. And then, yes, of course, this is great news. If you want to, you know, be a weirdo and play with mouse and keyboard rather than the controller God gave you, whatever. I'm not going to judge you. If you want to be a weirdo, it's fine. But like, I'm glad it's there, and I'm glad I appreciate Microsoft getting ahead of it, too, so that when they flip the Switch, everybody can just start playing with it. Now, Tim. If you thought that was a feel-good story, do I have another one for you about one of your favorite games from like 3 or 4 years ago? Dead Cells is getting an accessibility update, and it's out today. Ooh. Evil Empire and Motion Twin today announced that the latest update to the multi-million selling Dead Cells is now live across PC, Switch, Xbox, and PlayStation. Quote, breaking barriers introduces a variety of optional accessibility settings for players, making its signature, tough but fair gameplay available to a wider audience for the first time. The developers work closely with the Able Gamers organization and various legends from the Dead Cell communities over the past months to design and test these new settings for people with disabilities, as well as the game's new assist mode. Quote, the intent of this update is to allow players who struggle to or cannot play Dead Cells to be able to experience the game as we intended. We had feedback during beta testing that some people who don't need assist mode will use it regardless, and the result is that they won't play Dead Cells as a challenging roguelike, said an Evil Empire spokesperson. Quote, we put multiple messages regarding this in game, but in the end, it's up to the player how they want to enjoy the game. However, we will not disable achievements for players who use these options. We are not going to make it possible for people to play the game and then take the achievements away from them, end quote. The new option in this update, new options in this update include mobility input adjustments, such as hold to second jump slash roll, customizable controls, and more, along with visual options like UI size and transparency, font size type, customizable background colors, filters, no blood mode, plus many more. Everything is collected in a specific accessibility menu to gather all the options in one place. Assist mode exists in its own menu and contains multiple lives, auto hit, adjustable trap damage, and enemy health in percentage increments, plus toggleable options for slower parry window and trap speed, an option to instantly reveal the whole map for players who struggle with spatial awareness. In addition to the Breaking Barriers update comes with it 8 new weapon reworks and a reduction in game item cost to allow players to unlock new weapons more quickly alongside the crucial life and gold upgrades. Regarding future contents, regarding future free content updates, a spokesperson for both studios said, quote, "If you're a Dead Cells player who doesn't need any of the content that we're introducing in this update, don't worry. We have plenty of shiny new things to introduce to Dead Cells this year," end quote.
Hell yeah. I mean,
fantastic.
Dude, Dead Cells is one of my favorite games of the last couple of years. I mean, maybe of all time. Like, it was such an incredible experience and like such a intro to a genre for me that was just like such an eye-opening experience of like, oh, I do like this type of game. And one of my biggest issues with it was I wish that there were more ways to play it, for me even personally, just like to be able to speed some things up or like just change my experience with it. I can't even imagine how much this opens it up for millions of people on the planet to be able to experience such a special game. Like, even Nick got addicted to Dead Cells, which was so crazy to see. But this is awesome. Like, I feel like, especially for a game that is this fantastic, this recent but getting a little old at this point, like old relatively, right? But for them to still be going back and improving the game and making it better with these type of things that are actually going to make the game more accessible to more people, I think is awesome. And like, this is the type of, we talk about game preservation a lot, right? And like making sure we're maintaining the history of games, that old games are playable and all this. This is the type of stuff of the reaction of that kind of happening with forward thinking momentum, where let's take the modern classics of right now and make sure that they can grow with the industry and maintain classics forever and be accessible to as many people as possible. It's a win-win for everyone.
100%. Yeah, I think it's great. I think you should see more games do this. Yeah, I think Dead Cells did it in a really great way, too, of like, all right, cool. Obviously, they're a small team. Obviously, they're working on the game they have a vision for, and they put it out. And then you get the feedback of, I'm sure Able Gamers, I'm sure, you know, our friend Blind Gamer Steve, Steve Saylor, I'm sure there's people out there who are like, this, I'd love to play this, but I can't. And so to see them, you know, take their success and rather than move on to the next project, put something out there that, okay, let's expand this so other people can play it. I think that's great. I think that's awesome. I appreciate, I you know, the one thing I wish we could get over, and we're getting there and it's getting better, is I hate that they have to go in and do this whole like hat in hand thing of like, however, we will not disable. We're not going to take away trophies. We're not going to take away achievements. Like, that should be, who cares? Yes. Who, like, there's things in here, including the end sentence, right? Of like, if you don't need this, don't worry. More stuff's still coming. They're clearly putting these in there, and whoever's doing PR for them is doing great PR of putting them in there to seed the counter arguments that are inevitably going to come from the people who are like, they're ruining the vision of the game. And that platinum won't be as good as my platinum because they didn't, blah, 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 blah. Like, oh, they wasted their time on this. And this is what that, like, I appreciate that they have it in there. They're doing their job and they're doing a great thing here. It's just like, it sucks that you still have to have those like emergency eject clauses and statements because you know how the internet's going to react to this.
I can see what you're saying for the last line a little bit, but I actually think that the trophy situation, the achievement situation, is the opposite, where I think it is them kind of like really owning it in a way that's like them not being like, oh, don't worry, it's not affecting your stuff. It's more just like, no, we're standing by this. Like, we're making a decision that is against the wrong people out there.
I know, but I'm saying I'm looking forward to press releases not having to talk to the wrong people. Because the wrong people are such a small group that who the fuck cares that they're mad that their little trophies aren't as their trophy has been in their eyes besmirched by this.
But I also think this is speaking to the people being like, hey, you can get trophies and achievements. Don't worry. You know, like, I think that there's the positive side of the news that like that will be in press releases going forward.
But again, I'm looking forward to that just being the standard. Why nobody would ever think that like, oh, I'm going to play it. I can't play it, or I want to play it a specific way, and that's going to lock me out. That's stupid. Like, that's such ass backwards thinking for anybody who is still doing that with their trophies or achievements, right?
Yeah,
we're on the same page.
Very hopeful thinking. with that. Yeah, same page for sure. But yeah, it's just interesting where it's like the trophies and achievements and stuff don't have standardization just in general. I don't think they're ever going to get to the point that like on a top level, they're going to make sure that any of the accessibility stuff doesn't affect the ability to get to pop trophies or whatever.
Sure. But I think hopefully, we're getting to the point where accessibility is being talked about enough that people understand, game developers are starting to understand that the people who need accessibility options or want accessibility options also still like trophies and achievements, or might like trophies and achievements. And you shouldn't make them feel like second-class citizens because they turned on whatever it is to get the trophy, or turned on whatever they could to play the game that would then get the trophy. Mm-hmm. Tim, mm-hmm. I'm excited for more games to get accessibility options, but they're still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grab shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah.
Out today, Vampire Survivors is getting patch 0.7.3. It includes new character, weapons, and more. Something I'll be playing on my Steam Deck soon. Don't you worry about it. Strategic Mind, the Pacific is now available on Xbox. The Military and Criminality free update is now available for Lords and Villains. Bloodline Heroes of Lithas, a free-to-play card-based RPG for iOS and Android. Out today. I burped in the middle. Sorry. The underground tuner scene in Los Santos is buzzing this week in GTA Online. It's both legitimate and nefarious income streams at auto shops are doling out lucrative awards. The Chivalry 2 Midsummer event welcomes players to the fields of Aberfell, where Mason, Druid Warlords, and there's the Midsummer event happening in Chivalry 2 right now, everybody. All right, go get it if you want to do it. I think they're streaming it after this, right? Yeah. Mike and Andy are playing Chivalry 2 right after this on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you want to catch that later, of course, go to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. You can catch all our stream archives there of what they play after Games Daily. Mm-hmm. Deliver Us the Moon is launching today on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X/S. If you already own the PlayStation 4 or Xbox One version, you can upgrade it no additional cost. Autobahn Police Simulator 3 is out now. Players on Xbox Series X/S, PlayStation 4/5, and PC via Steam can now don their uniforms and patrol Germany's famous high-speed highway system. Shores of Taishi, the new DLC for Thunderful and independent developer Machin Mentions, Jules Verne's narrative roguelike adventure Curious Expedition 2 is available today on Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And then Naraka Blade Point is launching on Xbox Series X/S and Game Pass today. If that wasn't enough, Steve Jackson's Sorcery Camp, the complete collection is out on Switch and PS4 and something. Him and Her collection is out on a bunch of stuff. That's today. Sonic Origins is out today. The Caligula Effect 2 is on PC. Gordian Quest is on PC. The TV show, the Gordita Chronicles. Interesting. I don't know if that's
sick.
I like a good Gordita. Death Smiles 1 and 2 is out on PC. Hatsumiku Jigsaw Puzzle is out today. Rugnar is out today. I'm not making them up. I'm doing all right.
Okay, Greg. Okay.
Japanese Rail Sim Journey to Kyoto is out today. The Blade Runner Enhanced Edition is out today. Rocket Blade Point, we already covered. A lot of games today. There you go. That's all of them.
Yeah.
Congratulations. New dates for you. Taiko no Tatsutsu Rhythm Festival is coming to Nintendo Switch for September 23rd. Summer Game Fest Summer Games Done Quick is beginning this weekend in the gallery. The upcoming interactive film/live-action video game is coming out on PlayStation, Xbox, PC, Steam, Nintendo Switch, Android, and iOS August 1st, 2022. Tim, I got deals today for you. Are you ready to save some money?
Deal me up, Greg.
We're going to give you the free games that are coming to the Epic Games Store via VGC. Fantasy RPG, Gene Forge 1, Mutagen, and turn-based tactical roguelike RPG, Aratus, Lord of the Dead, will be available as free downloads from Epic's PC Marketplace from June 30th through July 7th. They replace a Game of Thrones, the board game, Digital Edition, and Car Mechanics Simulator 2018, which are now free to claim until June 30th. Anime-inspired action game Rogue Spirit has a 40% off sale right now in its early access update. And then Xbox Free Play Days, Be the Hunter or the Hunted during Xbox Free Play Days. Dead Island, Riptide, and The Hunter, Call of the Wild are available this weekend for Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members. So then this is one for you too. Super Stardust Portable has snuck onto PlayStation Plus. This is Ollie Welsh over at Polygon. Sony's revamped PlayStation Plus service completes its rollout today with launches in Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. And it's brought a little surprise with it in the form of a new addition to the classics catalog for premium subscribers in all regions. That game is Super Stardust Portable, Housemarque's 2008 handheld version of its classic arcade shoot-em-up for the PSP. But you won't find this little gem listed with the other classic games in the PlayStation Plus tab. Not yet, anyway. It's only discoverable by searching for it, as one Reddit user found. And then your final deal of the day. Get ready for a limited time offer with a wide variety of games, because the big old super sale is approaching, starting now until July 6th at whatever. You can take advantage of special promotion that even the mightiest boss can appreciate on the digital versions of select Nintendo Switch games. With discounts up to 50%, these offers will help you expand your Nintendo Switch library and kick off your summer with new adventures to enjoy.
Seek.
Tim, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. The only thing we got wrong isn't something we got wrong. Nanobiologist pops in to say, Steve Saylor, who we were just talking about earlier, the blind gamer, is streaming the new Dead Cells DLC on the Dead Cells Twitch page right now to show it off. Congratulations, Steve. Cool. What an opportunity. Good job out there making games more accessible. Speaking of making games more accessible, right after this, right now, actually, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you're going to get the Mike and Andy Chivalry 2 stream. They're going to go through, try out that new update. Tim and I are going to do a post show you can only get by going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where, of course, you could write in to be part of the show. You could get your questions read. You could be a Patreon producer. You get the show ad-free. You get the post show we're about to do. You could also watch us record PS I Love You in just a few hours. If that wasn't, I guess, 2 hours technically. And of course, you can tune in tomorrow, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, for more episodes of Kind of Funny Games Daily. Tomorrow it's going to be Blessing and Janet to close out your week on a big old Friday. Tim, you have something to say before we go?
I do. It is officially, if I'm doing my math right, a week away from my birthday next week, June 30th.
Which I think that means we're close to Cuphead.
Cuphead DLC comes out on my birthday, June 30th. And that's what I wanted to talk about for a second. Because the plan is, on my birthday, June 30th, next week, me and Barrett are going to play Cuphead, The Delicious Last Course, for the first time on stream. And Greg, I haven't been this stressed about content in maybe ever. Because
makes sense.
I'm not the biggest fan of streaming games. I get stressed out. I don't like the backseat gaming. I'm not that good at video games. I'm not, you know, it's stressful for me. Add on that to Cuphead. One of the hardest games I've ever played, that I definitely play each boss 50 times before I win in front of an audience. I'm stressed about that.
Playing alongside you play in front of an audience. You played in front of an audience at SPF, though.
I did, and I conquered that. But playing alongside Barrett, who is demonstrably better than me, stressed out about that. The fact that I'm pretty sure that Kevin's going to be running the stream and like heckling me as I play, I'm stressed out about that. Why am I doing this to myself on my birthday? This is going to be the first time me and Barrett touched the game. We've made a pact that we're not going to... Well, I guess I played at SGF, but just that one boss. But we're not going to play any pre-release code, anything. If we get it, I'm like, no. We're going in on June 30th. So I'm just letting everyone know, please be nice to me on my birthday, okay? I'll appreciate it. And I'm going to put on a damn show for y'all.
Everybody, be nice to Tim on his birthday. June 30th is right around the corner.
Thank you.
Right now, Chivalry 2 is right around the corner. Right now, post show's around the corner. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.